We'd like to hear from you again sometime. So put us on your calendar, will you? Please take your Bible and turn to two passages of Scripture. 1 Peter chapter 1. Maybe we'll just do that one this evening. 1 Peter chapter 1. This morning I began to talk to you about things that pastors think about. Things that cause pastors to carry God's work in their stomach instead of their heart. Things that a pastor wants to say, and he has difficulty sometimes saying them. We looked at Revelation chapter 2 and 3, and we saw that the Holy Spirit of God, through John, targeted the senior pastor of churches, the angels, the messenger of the church, with specific messages for specific churches in unique and specific places, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, and all those places. And the Apostle John knew what their situation was, and he addressed that situation, and he gave them some truth to live up to in order to honor God in that local situation. And the first two points that I made today were, number one, we need to be a church that stands for the truth and doesn't back away from it. We need to protect the truth, preserve the truth, and propagate the truth. And secondly, we need to love the truth. It's one thing to stand for the truth, and it's another thing to do it in a loving way because we love God and love people. Sometimes people stand for truth, but they do so in a way that you wonder whether they're loving you or not. And there's a balance there someplace, and I'm sure it's different with different people. But when we think again of our society and how society has changed so much, what our young people grow up with and consider normal, those of us that are 50, 60, 70, and beyond, it's totally different than what it used to be. Our culture is different, and we need to learn to live within this culture. I got a few more news items I'll share with you just to give you an idea. The religious culture. There's a theology professor at the College of Holy Cross, and he says that Jesus Christ was a gay cross-dressing woman. Now, this is a guy that's a New Testament studies professor. My sakes. Where did he come from? What spaceship did he get off of? You know, what kind of Bible is he reading? And yet, there wasn't much outcry at that Roman university. There's a fellow up in Lansing, Michigan. The authorities are wanting to investigate him because this man is a pastor, Metro City Church. Don't know what kind of a church it is, but he was trying to reach out to people, in a particular teenage girls who struggle with gender dysphoria. Not quite sure whether I'm fish or fowl, if you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, I'm not quite sure what I am. You know, homosexuality, lesbian, whatever. And he offered to the city a workshop. And the people in the city, some of the people in the city said, we can't have that. And a bunch of people protested it. All he wanted to do was help young girls who are struggling. He was offering an unashamed identity workshop, 6 weeks offering for girls ages 12 to 16 who are struggling with their thoughts. You know, does your child or grandchild struggle with sexual identity? Do you see the pain and hurt of their struggle, but you're uncertain how to help? Well, he goes on to say it doesn't have to be this way. With God's help, there can be healing, wholeness, and hope. Well, people just got all bent out of shape because this guy is trying to reach out to some needy people. Hundreds of protesters turned up outside the church for two scheduled dates, and they say self-hatred is not therapy. Now, what do you mean self-hatred? Well, you know what they mean. They mean that if you think a certain way, you are automatically whatever that is. Probably, let me be frank with you, most everybody here at one time or another has had a homosexual or lesbian thought. That thought is a temptation, not a sin. If you give in to the thought, you've sinned, but even if you give in to that thought, you are not what, all that is an expression of your sinful nature. That's all it is. Just like any other sin. It's just sin, that's all. And all of a sudden, I'm this because I thought that. No, not at all. And here's a guy that was trying to help these girls, and they got 40 voicemail messages a minute from critics. Good grief. Just read about a Mennonite minister was put in jail for 2 years because he helped a lady to hide her daughter from being with a lesbian. They put him in jail, poor Mennonite guy. Here's the army chaplain facing possible discipline. This is in Fort Bragg, North Carolina, Southern Baptist Army chaplain, pushing back after the military investigator concluded that this chaplain discriminated against a lesbian woman. Here's what happened. The chaplain offered to conduct a marriage retreat, and this lesbian lady and her whatever significant other, whatever you want to call it, signed up to attend, and he wouldn't do the retreat. Now he's being called on the carpet for standing for his convictions as a chaplain. Wow, that's the society. We say, well, that's not in Wakarusa. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. If it's not already here, it's coming. We can't get away from it. This is no longer Mayberry, USA. I wish it were, but it's not. So I want to go now and talk to you about a third area, however. The first one, remember, we need to protect and propagate the faith once delivered unto the saints. As a church, that's our mandate. Number two, we need to love the God of our faith and love the faith and have a personal relationship with the Lord. We need to keep ourselves in the love of God, maintain our walk with God. Now, the third point I want to make, and I'll just probably make this one tonight, and that's all. And that has to do with the matter of, well, let's read it. First Peter chapter 1, it says in verse 13, gird up the loins of your mind. What's that? That means start thinking straight. Grab a hold of your thoughts, hold on to them, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Here's what I want to share with you this evening. Holiness is separateness. It's what it is. It's separateness. And what we need to be in this church is grooming and growing disciples, Christian people who understand holiness for what it really is. Particularly tonight, I'm going to address anyway. Particularly with how it affects our church fellowship. What groups do we cooperate with? What groups do we not cooperate with? Why? And all that sort of thing. It's called separation. It's simply an expression of the doctrine of holiness, an application of the doctrine of holiness. What I want to say is basically this: holiness is not just negative; it's positive. We are separated unto the Lord. And because we are separated unto the Lord, Well, we are automatically separated from other things. That's just the way it is. When I got married a number of years ago, I was separated unto my wife. That meant that I was separated from every other woman in this world. See, there's nothing negative about that and everything positive about it. But we often, when we think of this business of separation, we think of something negative and nasty and mean and ugly and all that stuff. Well, it's not that. It can be, particularly if your attitude is bad, but it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be that way. We need to train disciples, church leaders, who understand the aspect of holiness as it relates to our ecclesiastical fellowship. What groups are we going to enjoy being with, cooperate with, partner in ministry with, and what groups are we not going to? Now, I'm going to give you six responses to other ministries and men, just to sort of show you the spectrum. In other words, there's all kinds of ministries and all kinds of things going out there. Which one should we be a part of and why? Okay? And I'm going to give to you six examples of responses, biblical responses to things that are out there. They were in that day. The first one is this, and I'll give you a verse and then I'll tell you what it is. Remember in the book of Luke chapter 9, John said, "Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we told him to quit it, because he follows not with us." And Jesus said unto him, "Don't stop him from doing that. He that is not against us is for us." Now, what's the application of that? The application is this. There are some ministries out there, they're fine. Leave them alone. God is using them. Why throw rocks at them? They're on God's side. They're doing what they believe God wants them to do. They're being biblical. Doesn't mean you have to go join them. Doesn't mean you have to support them. But you can just say, hey, praise God that somebody's standing for truth, loving the truth, and doing right. It may be a little bit different in the way you do it. Leave it with God. Leave it with God. They don't have to be of us to be pleasing to God. You're not more pleasing to God just because you happen to be a Baptist, if that's what you are. You're pleasing to God when you're walking in obedience regardless of what church you belong to. Now, I hope you belong to a good one. But, so first response, leave them alone. God is using them. Praise God for it. That's first response. Another response. In this case, Philippians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul is in jail. He is writing to the believers at Philippi, and he's saying, I want you to understand, you know, I'm in jail now, and all this stuff has happened to me, but, you know, I'm able to witness right here in jail. And he said, you know, some Christians out there, they're preaching Christ, they're envious, and there's strife in their ministry, and then some others are of goodwill. One of them is preaching in a contentious way, not sincerely, thinking somehow to add to my problems. And you know what he did? He said, whether Christ is preached in pretense, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Just, what did he do? He mentioned them. He called attention to them. He called attention to what the problem was. He didn't send them an offering. He didn't criticize them, throw rocks at them. He just mentioned them and then left them alone. There are a lot of ministries like that. That we see something that we're just not really comfortable with. Okay, that's all right. We can still live and breathe and have breakfast tomorrow morning and be happy and fellowship with those that we are close to in fellowship. We don't have to worry about it. We don't have to get bent out of shape. Just mention them to warn people if you need to, and then leave them alone. That's number two. Number three. In this case, Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 through 16, Peter, you've heard me talk about this before. Peter was in Antioch, and he was eating with Gentiles there. And, of course, eating with Gentiles meant that he was probably having some bacon and some pickled pig's feet and whatever else that Jews, oh, no, they, They wouldn't have that. And then some Jews from Jerusalem came, and immediately Peter got up from the table and walked away. And people said, well, so? Well, what Peter did by his actions is imply to some people that you must keep Old Testament dietary rules in order to be fully pleasing to God or a Christian. He didn't preach anything that was bad. He didn't preach any negative, nothing that was unbiblical, but by what he did, he actually denied the gospel of grace. Wow. Now I want you to think about, what is Paul's response to that? You know what Paul did? Paul chewed him out publicly. Publicly. He made it very clear that we're justified by faith and faith alone, apart from any Old Testament works of any kind, and that's it. We're not justified by the works of the law, but by faith of Jesus Christ. And so in that case, sometimes a ministry out there needs to be called out, look, it doesn't mean they're wicked people. It just means they're making a mistake, because by their actions, they are denying the purity of the gospel. It's a biblical thing for a Christian leader, when he sees somebody else whose actions are in some way confusing or diluting the gospel, it's kind, it's loving, it's good, it's positive, to say, look, see what's happening over there? I have a problem with that. Example, if you read my article, only six of you did, but if you read it, that happens a lot in the music area. It really does, because all these people get together, and there will be, say, a Romanist, and he's the performer. And here are all these evangelicals, people that believe that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, and Jesus alone. And here's this guy singing and playing, and he's a Roman Catholic. And there are priests there, the whole thing. Now, that guy who's singing and playing, I don't know whether he's a Christian or not. I'm going to assume that he is. I have no idea. I'm not judging the man's heart. I'm judging what Paul judged by this man's actions. He is implying that the Roman church is okay, and it's not okay. It's just as not okay as another church that has the Baptist name on it that preaches that you can be saved by getting baptized or something else. It's just as bad. See? And so sometimes we need to rebuke and try to restore in order to protect the gospel. That's number three. Number four, similar to that, point them out and rebuke them for the sake of the purity of the gospel again in Philippians chapter 3. In this case, Paul called attention to Judaizers. He called them dogs. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. They were denying that Jesus is enough. He's not enough. You need Jesus plus something. The Apostle Paul dealt with that in the book of Galatians, and he was very, very harsh about that. What did he say? Galatians chapter 1. Though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached, let him be damned. Cursed. I'm not swearing. Let him be damned to hell. And then if you didn't get it the first time, he repeats it again in verse 9. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel than the grace of God, let him be accursed. Wow. That is calling them out and saying that is wicked. It is wrong. It is not glorifying to God. It is denying the gospel. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with that. If you don't do, I mean, it's like a doctor comes along and says, well, she's got cancer, but I don't believe that it would be nice for me to tell him. What? I want to know if I got cancer. I want to know if there's something wrong so I can fix it. Okay, number five. Another response. And this is just rebuke them and reject them. Rebuke them and, boy, this is all so negative. Wait a minute. Rebuke them and reject them. Titus chapter 3, verses 9 through 11. He says, the apostle says, avoid foolish questions, genealogies, contentions, strivings about the law, for they're unprofitable. A man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition, reject. Reject. Out. You're not accepted here. You are preaching stuff that is not true. Rebuke and reject. Boy, does that sound mean. Pastor, did you take a nasty pill this afternoon? No, I didn't take a nasty pill this afternoon. Took one this morning. Number six. Avoid them. Those that are being contrary to the gospel or causing divisions and splits and all that kind of a thing. Romans chapter 16. Here the apostle is saying, say hey to so-and-so and say hey to so-and-so and be sure to tell so-and-so. Well, he didn't say it that way. He said it this way. Salute Philologus and Julia, Nerus and his sister Olympus and all the saints which were, and that's not kind of a salute this. It's embrace. It's talking about saying hey to. It's what it is. Okay. I beg of you, he says, mark those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you've learned. Mark them. That means, see that guy right there? Mark them and avoid them. Wow. Now, every one of these, all six of these things that I've given to you are motivated by love for truth and love for purity. All of them are motivated by that. Applying the doctrine of holiness and separateness is not about meanness. It's not about being holier than thou and looking down at other people. It's not about being unkind. It's not your church against my church. It's not your denomination against mine, and yours is always wrong and mine's always. It's none of that. It has to do with loyalty. It has to do with love. It has to do with purity. I've used the illustration before. I get to perform marriage ceremonies for a lot of couples. I've done a lot of them over the years. And I see the bride walking down the aisle. And everybody stands up and they turn around and the organ swells or whatever's playing. And there's the beautiful bride. Even if she's ugly, she's pretty. There's just something about a bride. She's just pretty, that's all. She's pretty, beautiful. She's radiant, her face is shining, and it's just absolutely wonderful. And she's got this wonderful white dress with all those sparkly things all over it and everything, and the lights just make it glimmer, and the groom is standing there, and his knees are fellowshipping one with another. He's nervous and everything. And she comes down, and why does she want to have a clean dress on? Did she go to Papa John's Pizza beforehand and have a couple of pepperonis and a couple of them are sticking over here and one down? No! She wants to present herself as a beautiful, pure, lovely bride. That's what separation is. It's positive. She wants him to see her beauty. And that's her day. Listen. That's what separation is. It's holiness, purity. The motivation is love. It's not anger. It's nothing negative, and it's everything positive. Holiness is a Bible doctrine that needs to be preached, explained, and then applied. It's just like any other Bible doctrine, you know, inspiration of the Bible. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God-breathed. There it is. That's so important. That's like a major organ that I have in my body. You don't have, I don't have a heart, you know, I'm gone. I assume room temperature real quickly. I'm dead. I'm done. Inspiration is the heart. Okay, then you think maybe, well, the deity of Christ, that's the lungs, and the Trinity, you know, the liver, whatever. These are important body parts without which you don't have biblical Christianity. Well, if that's the case, what body part is holiness? Holiness is the immune system of the body. Holiness, you know, you go to the hospital sometimes, and I see this little cart that's outside the door, and I know what I'm going to have to do. I'm going to have to open up the drawer. I'm going to have to take this yellow thing, and I'm going to have to put it on, and it's hot. And then I have to put a mask on, and I put the mask on, and then I breathe and my glasses get foggy, you know, and I have to put on these rubber gloves just to go in and say, hi, how you doing? Why? Because there needs to be purity, there needs to be cleanness in that room. That's not a negative thing, that's a positive thing. It's good for that person. Holiness is a biblical doctrine without which you end up losing all the other body organs. You start compromising in the area of holiness. And over a period of time, sometimes a very short time, but often it takes decades, your church, your ministry will no longer exist as a biblical ministry. Because you have allowed impure things to come in. It happens. Many of the major schools in America, originally, Harvard, these schools, they were there for the... Everybody that went to Harvard was studying for the ministry. To glorify Jesus Christ. What happened? Well, over a period of time, you know, we've got to be scholarly. And there's this guy over in Germany, and he's a scholar. I know he doesn't believe all the book, but he's a fairly nice guy, and he'll really give us cred, you know, in our department. And so they bring him over. What happens? They've let down the immune system. And so the point I'm making simply is this. As a church, we need to hold on to the gospel, propagate it, protect it. We need to love it, and we need then to make sure that we understand what holiness is. And that helps us then when we have to make decisions about who we're going to fellowship with, who we're not going to fellowship with, and all that. And it's not a denominational thing. It's not that. It's everything else but that. Because there are some Baptists I wouldn't want to go near. I wouldn't want to put on the whole gown and the gloves and everything and go near them because they're nasty. They don't even believe the Bible anymore. And there's some Methodists that really are sweet Christians. And I don't have any trouble at all fellowshipping with those people. There's some old-fashioned, particularly old-fashioned Pentecostal people. They love God. Their doctrine is a little bit different in mine in some areas. But I don't have a problem fellowshipping with those people. They're walking with God. They'll find out when they get to heaven I was right and they were wrong. But they're, but that's okay. We as a church need to understand these things. And so sometimes when this church, under the leadership of the angel at the church at Wakarusa, decides to not participate in something, it's not because we're mean, it's not because we're unkind, it's not because we're negative, it's not any of the above. It's just our doing our best to apply the doctrine of holiness in a way that protects the ministry of this church. Because when I make decisions about this church, I don't make them about how it's going to affect our attendance 3 weeks from now. The decisions that I make in this local body have to do with when I'm sitting over at Miller's Merry Manor slobbering over myself, you come to visit me and I don't even know who you are, this church is still strong. Amen. That's the kind of decisions we need to make as a church, always. Look at the long-range effect of allowing our immune system to break up and see that it's destructive. And so separation, it's not a nasty word, it's a good word. It's a wonderful word. Think of the bride. How beautiful she is. Are you getting it? All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Use it in our lives. Help us to continue to understand and grow. Help us to love all believers. Help us to be Christ-like to all believers, regardless of whether we can agree with them or not. Help us, Lord, to reflect your love and your holiness. Help us to understand. Help us to understand. The immune system of biblical Christianity is separateness. We pray in Jesus' name.